Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here with us tonight. If you're joining us, praise Yahweh, for the first time, we welcome in you to the Shepherd's Call. And we're live and direct tonight. This is Tuesday, and it's the 26th day of March. Marching right along here as we are in the procession, praise Yahweh, and we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Well, we've got these prophets on the scene. They're prophesying impending doom and disaster here in the United States, of the major cities, nuclear war and things of this nature. And odd as it may seem, the United States has just recently used language for the first time in my remembrance that they have targeted specific nations for retaliation in case that there is a nuclear war. So, even our government is being alerted and precautious, if you will, to the things that may or may not. We don't know tomorrow exactly what's going to happen from day to day because, as the Bible says, this is a time of trouble. Well, in the time of trouble, it's a good time to sow seed if you've got a troubled heart and you are perplexed on every side. It's a good time to yield your life and your spirit and your soul over to the Heavenly Father. Call upon Him in the day of trouble, He said, and I'll deliver you. And we know that the Father has got deliverance for His people. We read the last chapter, we win. Now how, where, when, and why is the issues of amazing grace. Praise Yahweh. It's just by grace, through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is His marvelous gift that He bestows upon His people. Of all the people in the earth, only the family of Jacob, His chosen people. Now, we're going to do a series of genealogy search here tonight. We're going to get into the birth genealogy of David. Our subject tonight and for the all week has actually been that David was not a Jew. Tonight we're continuing the same thought process. We're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that David was not from the tribe of Judah. He, therefore, was not a Jew. Then Christ, we're going to prove later on, as we get into the second part of the series, Christ was not a Jew. And we're going to establish the fact beyond a reasonable doubt that if David wasn't a Jew, we can prove that Christ wasn't a Jew. Because as it said in Psalms 132, verse 11, that Christ would come through the seed and be raised up under the seed of David to sit on the throne. Well, these are very interesting things. It's probably something new to your ears. Maybe you've never heard of any preacher on national radio get up and declare emphatically that Christ was not a Jew when the bell box tone or the bell box Judeo-Christian approach is that, yes, Christ was a Jew and the Jews are God's chosen people. And we have refuted that. That's not true. You see, Israel is His chosen people. Judah is only one tribe within the 13 allotted tribes that are given the blessing pack, and out of that blessing pack, Joseph was slated to be the birthright son or the birthright inheritor, and so then Christ would have had to come out of the seed of Joseph to validate the scriptures and make them correct. Otherwise, we've got error upon error upon error. If Christ was not from the tribe of Joseph, then we got a major problem here because the birthright son has not come to claim his inheritance. There's no son. Now remember, I'm going to give you this scripture, and we're going into the interior of the word. Places probably where most of you have not been, and show you things you probably haven't seen, and get you to thinking maybe in a complete 180 degree, if not a 360 degree, a thought process of from where you thought before. That's what the gospel is for. It's to turn you around, to repent you, or to change you. And that's what repentance is, means change. Things that you once held sacred beliefs, you found to be wrong. And the things that you always consider to be wrong, you paradoxically find they're right. And so that's what we're into tonight. We're into controversial subject matter. As usual, taking on all comers, calling nobody. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to have a voice of opposition to refute Pastor Buddy's message here tonight, you're welcome to join us on a debate. We'll have this debate live, and we can record it, and then we can play it back for the people's interest to give you a perspective of the view of the whole world from here. We're just one preacher on the scene, and I told you last night that we need a platform to get all the preachers on. And everybody needs to be swinging on at the end of the rope, and we need to have a major trap door, and everybody that's not correct would fall through the trap door. And we could thin out the prophets who are like foxes on the desert, by the way, and very few of those old foxes will preach the truth. You know, they're like the fox in the hen house. They're going to eat the egg, and finally they'll eat the goose that laid the golden egg, and now we got a major dilemma. The Catholic Church is being systematically destructed, praise Yahweh, for the sins of a homosexuality that she's always promoted by commanding her priests not to marry. She's invited all the homosexuals to join, because homosexuals don't want to marry opposite sex to have children and procreate. That's not their deal. Their deal is to mate with man to man and women to women. So then there's two orders in the Catholic Church, and both of them are to remain celibate, and therefore it is a hotbed for homosexuality. Always has been, ladies and gentlemen. The spirit of devils is in her, the Bible says in the 17th chapter of Revelations. And here today, it's made national news tonight that they're paying out literally millions of dollars to cover her sins. And the Pope just gave a cosmetic address to it because he is now old and feeble and didn't even attend or is not going to say mass for the first time. The Pope won't be present because he's not up to snuff. Well, whoop-de-doo. Praise Yahweh, because truth finally comes out. You can't keep this covered, and they didn't have enough money to buy off all these that become victim, choir boys and altar boys and parishioners and those that have attended that's become victim of these homosexual priests. I've told you before, I warned you before, if this ever came, I preached this a year ago, and I told you that the Catholic Church is for the homosexuals. Don't mean that all of them are homosexual. There's good men, devout men in the church, but there is a large percentage of them. And it's why? Because it is an enticement that the Catholic Church openly invites in courts. And if you go to the Vatican, I'm sure there's as many homosexuals in the Vatican as there is in the Boston Archdiocese complex of the Catholic Holy Catholic Archdiocese there in Massachusetts, where now they have just paid out a record sum of millions of dollars. Dallas, Texas, San Antonio, $31 million. And it just goes on and on and on as they try to pay their way out of their sins. Now, we're talking about priests, preachers. And you say, well, now, Pastor Bunny, that don't include all the rest of them. Glory to God. There's good ones in all of them. Well, that may be true. That's probably true. There's good folks in all walks of life. But I have said this many times, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Being good don't get you there. Being right will. Now, let me repeat that. Being good does not take you home. You can give all your goods. You can be as goody-goody-good-good-good-goody-good two-shoes, as the old saying goes, and you can miss the boat. If you are not eternally saved by the divine power of Yahweh, if you don't have your name on his book, I don't care how good you are, how many good deeds you do, you're just adding to the confusion of those that's hunting the truth. You see, if it wasn't for those that seem like, if it wasn't for a seem like way, then the message that Pastor Buddy and other preachers preach on Truth Radio to get your attention, we are the alternative network here. We give you alternative name. We tell you that the only name given under heaven whereby you can be saved is Yahweh. And that brings controversy to this program. We're used to controversy. We're used to the heathen raging and the people imagining the vain thing and throwing rocks our way. That just goes with the territory. They did it to Christ when he was here walking upon the earth in the personage of Yahweh incorporated into a body of flesh. They killed him and buried him, but he rose again. And that's the power of overcoming. And he said, I give my sheep eternal life. That's the beauty of it. Praise Yahweh. He that seeketh to save his life will lose it. He that loses his life for Yahweh's sake will save it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you got to get in a way that's hated, despised, and a way that is evil spoken of by so-called. That's what the Bible said. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. What's his name? It ain't Jesus. It ain't Lord. It ain't God. All these substitutes that they brought in and familiarized you with and conditioned your mind to say it, you say it without thinking. And the Lord said this. Which one? When you say, Lord, which one are you talking about? The Bible says there's many. Be specific. Which Lord are you talking about? And so then the deceit goes on. Now, what's that got to do with where we left off last night? Let me give you a version out of a different translation. This is the Living Bible, paraphrased by Tyndale. Listen to me as I read in where we left off last night. Remember where we're at? You that remember where we're at, well, we were in Micah chapter 5, and I was reading on verse 2 when we left off last night. I want to read you the version here in the Living Bible. O Bethlehem Ephratah, now it is reported that Christ is going to be born, the king, out of Bethlehem Ephratah. Well, David made mention to it, as I read you there last night in the text, that he mentioned Bethlehem Ephratah had to be the birthplace of the Messiah. Now, David is going to be kin, blood kin, if you will, to this flesh man that sits upon the throne that inherits his throne forever. David is claiming kin. The Bible will tell you that he's kin. So if we can prove that David wasn't a Jew, then we can prove easily by establishing the fact that David wasn't a Jew, that Christ wasn't a Jew. And if we can establish that Christ wasn't a Jew, somebody's going to have to redo some theological doctrine here. These bellbox churches are going to have to really come down and face the facts here. They need to let preachers like myself into their assemblies, and we need to debate the issues with the pastors. I'd be glad to go anywhere at my own expense to a church that has got as many as 50 members, hopefully more, that they could gather the community up and they could all attend one church. And we could debate this issue, maybe about 10,000 per congregation. Maybe we could just rent the stadium, and we could debate this. I'd debate Billy Graham. You say you would, Pastor Buddy? Well, of course I would. Oral Roberts, oh yeah, wouldn't have any problem debating Oral. Would you have any problem with Mr. Schuller? No, we'd throw rocks at his little guy's house real quick. We'd break every window out of his house that he built. With a false doctrine. Why do they preach this false doctrine? It is the Judeo-politically correct agenda, and they're sticking to it. They're prospering. Oh, they just build temple after temple after temple and fill it up, overflow it, fill it up, overflow it. Broad is the way, straight is the way for truth, and broad is the way for disinformation or mistruth. And many of our be that go there. So, do you want to join the crowd, or you want to get into the few? Well, if you're going to get into a few, you're going to join into the great name of the King. Listen to me as I read in Micah 5 and 2 out of the Living Paraphrase Bible. Oh, Bethlehem Ephratah. Ooh, hallelujah, like that, don't you? You notice it don't say Bethlehem Judea. Duh. No, Bethlehem Judea is not mentioned here, folks. So then Christ is not prophesied to come out of Bethlehem, Judea, as the scribes have changed the text over in the New Parchment, to gain the preeminence or to be given the prestige, if you will, so that they can rule over their brothers or have the supremacy or be noted as quote-unquote God's chosen people. And most of the Judeo-Christian church addresses that and says, and they swear this, that the Jews are God's chosen people. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Pastor Buddy. I know I'm swimming upstream. I know that not many people are going to hear me. I know that I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbal in the ears of Judeo-Christianity and political correct. I'm not going to make a ripple or a big wave of a tidal wave of change in this traditional doctrine. Yahweh Shua said himself, well, as the last prophesied of you hypocrites, you draw near with your mouth, but your heart's far from me, and you cast aside my commandments to keep your own tradition. Well, that's the case right here. O Bethlehem Ephratah, you are but a small village. Yet you will be the birthplace of my king who is alive from everlasting ages past. Now, it doesn't say here that he will be born in Bethlehem, Judea, so how could they say here a small Judean village? When the correct rendering, and I can bring a Hebrew expert in to give you the correct rendering in Micah 5 and 2, it says in its correct rendering, not the English, but the Hebrew, though you be little compared to the thousands of Judah, yet out of you, Bethlehem Ephratah, the little, very obscure town of Bethlehem Ephratah, nothing written about it, glorious, except out of Bethlehem Ephratah shall come the king, and it will be the birthplace of the king, for Yahweh will not abandon his people. Isn't that wonderful? Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judah. So you mark that, and then we're going to go now to the book of Ruth. Now, I want to establish Ruth as the great-grandmother of David. Now, the story of Ruth probably took place during the time of Gideon. That would be around 1130 B.C. in the Common Era. And the famine mentioned in Ruth seems to correspond to the oppression of the Midianites that Israel's subsequent deliverance, Ruth 1 and 1 and verse 6 and Judges 6, 3 through 4, would, that the Hebrew tradition holds that Ruth lived at the same time as Eli the priest. Since she was at least the great-grandmother of David, she must have lived around the 12th century B.C. because David was in the 1000 B.C. area. So she was at least the great-grandmother. Are you listening to me? Praise Yahweh. So now we've got Ruth established as the great-grandmother. Now listen to this. Several laws and customs were involved in the proceedings which led to the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. Now remember that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, the next in line, the closest to the kinsman redeemer, that he could redeem Ruth and save her from embarrassment because her husband that she married died, and there had to be a next of kin to redeem her with the pledge of his shoe. And this is where the beautiful story in the book of the Gospel of Ruth comes in, and yet very few people understand that Ruth and her husband, both of these, were Ephraimites. Duh. Say, now, Pastor Buddy, that can't be true because Ruth is mentioned in the genealogy downline of Judah. Oh, really? Well, what's wrong here? Well, somebody obviously didn't take time to study, or it was a deliberate attempt to deceive the very elect. I will choose the latter, because anybody could see right here that Ruth and Boaz both were out of the house of Joseph. Now, if they were out of the house of Joseph, and that would make David's great-grandmother out of the tribe of Joseph, and Boaz, the bloodline progenitor of David's daddy, that would be Jesse, and we're going to prove that Jesse was an Ephraimite himself. Now, how in the hell, pardon my French here, but I do this to shock treat you here, and I'm telling you, I'm going to raise hell on this subject, praise Yahweh, because it's time to raise hell and call heaven for a witness and let Yahweh be true and every man a liar, and if you don't believe it, go to hell with all nations and forget Yahweh. If you can't have the truth, you ain't going to hell. You can forget it, and hello, hell. So let's raise up hell and let you get a good look at it and call heaven for a witness and try to get the truth here. He that believeth and is baptized into the divine name of the principles of truth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. This is a black and white issue here. Either Christ was a Jew or he wouldn't. Now, here comes along Pastor Buddy, right here in the year 2001 and 2, and I'm on the scene now, sent by Yahweh to preach this gospel. I'm not interested in government affairs of the Babylon, of the world. I ain't interested in that. I appreciate my country. I appreciate the people. I appreciate the men and women that died. I went to the armed services. I would have died for my country. So I'm not interested in advocating the overthrow. I ain't interested in somebody giving up a bunch of guns and a bunch of thugs and a bunch of dope heads and marijuana smokers and these outbound outcasts. I'm not interested in getting up a group like that. I'm trying to get your spiritual man ready to possess the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is entirely different from the kingdom of Babylon. Let Babylon exist. I'm not trying to overthrow her. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got these preachers. All they want to do is talk about how we're going to get rid of this terrible government. What government in the world would they go to if they could get away from this one? Who are you going to run, Johnny Longlegs? You say, well, I want to change this government. I want to take over myself. Well, I trust the people in there more than I trust the preachers that's preaching. I damn sure don't want them over me. They ain't got enough sense to find the truth, let alone run the country. So let's leave the government to the people that are destined, and Yahweh's the one who sets up the government. You say, well, he done a bad job. Oh, no, he didn't. He done an excellent job. Praise Yahweh. And I appreciate living in a country where that they leave me to preach the gospel. I'll let them run the affairs of the world, and I will not concern myself with the affairs of the world at this present moment. Praise Yahweh. I'm just going to preach the gospel. That's what Paul was chosen to do. Now, I know the Sanhedrin government of the Jews, they bound him, whipped him, and imprisoned him, and restricted him, and tried to beat his head in with rocks. And finally, the Roman government cut his head off. That's what history records. The Bible don't say that, but we do know that he went to Rome to be a witness before Caesar. Well, we know what Caesar had in store, you know, for all the Christians down there in Rome. Most of them ended up in the lion's den or their head taken off. Now, that time may come back, but until it does, let's preach the gospel and get people ready. You see, Israel's a long way from being ready, and we're concerned about the material world when we ought to be concerned about the spiritual world and getting ourselves prepared to meet Yahweh, not to meet any type of Hitler that'll come upon the scene. Talk about Antichrist. Antichrist is a spirit, and Antichrist is everywhere. What does Antichrist mean? Every spirit that won't confess that Yahweh Shua come in the flesh, Yahweh incorporated or inducted into the flesh, is an Antichrist. And that spirit's all over the land, including in the church house, and most of it in the preacher. Well, that's my cue to wind down here and give you a chance to catch your breath while I catch mine and get me a drink of this Tennessee Mountain spring water. I'll be right back with part two of David Wasn't a Jew, and I've got news for you when we come back. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We're glad to have you aboard here tonight. I'm telling you, we're going to lay you out some good stuff. Praise Yahweh. If you are a Bible student and you love intrigue and mystery, we're going to show you that there's been some hanky-panky going on in the genealogy downline here. We've caught them red-handed, ladies and gentlemen. And it's hard for us to convince anybody we found something here. Very few people will take the time and bother to look because they say, oh, preacher. He's just out there setting some wildfire. And I used to have these holiness preachers, you know, when you could get a revelation, they said, oh, he's just setting wildfire. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this ain't wildfire. This is a fire of the Holy Ghost, and it will stop every mouth. I would debate anybody on the genealogy that Christ was not a Jew, David was not a Jew, and the descendants that come into genealogy, there has been some in deliberate tampering with the genealogy. I'm going to prove that you cannot use genealogy according to the Bible. Because evidently somebody that wrote this thing, they knew that there would be tampering, and so genealogy is out of the question here. Now, there's two reasons why the genealogy can't be figured. Number one, Christ did not have an earthly father. Duh. Now, that's right. Christ didn't have an earthly father. The Holy Ghost, the Father himself, the eternal Spirit, the Creator, he was the Father of the flesh man. So the Spirit created himself a body and got in it and veiled himself and walked in the flesh for 33 years, unwrapped out of the flesh body through the death on the torture stake, and then rose and come back and got in that body that was dead for 3 days, rose it up, and he's in it right tonight. is ruling and reigning on in his temple. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me show you something here. Several laws, and I want to really bore this in here. Several laws and customs are involved in the proceedings which led to the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. Right here, ladies and gentlemen, is where I catch them. That's why nobody won't come on television or radio and debate Pastor Buddy. Because Buddy tells the truth. I've got the evidence here, and nobody wants to play with the evidence. I mean, you know, if they think if they ignore me, I'll go away. Well, the truth's here to stay. I don't care if I go away. The truth will survive. There's other men and women now that is teaching this because they can read it in the Bible. They've accepted it as truth, and they're out fanning the flames here, praise Yahweh, and many people are being won over to this very ideal that Christ was not a Jew. Many people. And if the time goes on and permits, the whole of Israel will come to it. And those that come to him will be in no wise cast out. So the laws, now let me show you what the laws are. Mark in your Bible, Deuteronomy 25:5. If a woman's husband died and she was left without children, her husband's brother was required to marry her so that she could be an heir to carry on the name of the man who had died. That is a biblical Hebrew procedures. This is why Boaz was called the kinsman redeemer. That's why Christ was typed the kinsman redeemer. That he came through the bloodline of Boaz. Now, Boaz was the great-grandfather of David. Hello? Duh. Well, who was Boaz? Well, we're fixing to find out, and we're going to disappoint you, true blues that say that the Jews are God's chosen people. We're going to burst your little bubble. We hate to do it. We know that it's hurt. We know that it's hard for you to cry uncle here. But you're going to have to admit, if you're going to go into the book, and why don't you just, I mean, hire somebody to come and debate Pastor Buddy. Hire somebody to get them on here. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you want to do this debate. No, I want to examine the issues and cross-reference somebody else's belief against this. Somebody that really believes that Christ coming out of the tribe of David needs to come on here live with me. Because we're holding certain scripture back that we don't show all our cards. And we do that purposely because we'd like to get to the truth of this. And if you want to hear the rest of the cards, you just get somebody to come on here and debate Pastor Buddy that Christ was a Jew. We will dispel that real quick. Right here, we're going to do it right here. Notice this. Since Ruth's deceased husband, Mahlon, had no living brothers, she would most likely have remained unmarried. However, Naomi and Ruth decided to sell the land that belonged to Elimelech, Mahlon and Shephlon, and if you will notice, the historian Josephus comes in here and explains that in this case, the nearest kinsman would customarily have the first option to buy the land. Ain't that a doozy? But he would also be expected to marry the widow. Oh, right there you go. Right here's where we get into the bloodline of Christ was out of the house of Ephraim, Joseph, the birthright sons. David was out of the birthright sons of Ephraim, Joseph. They neither one was Jewish. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout, praise Yahweh. Well, I heard you shout it right then. Well, thank you. Praise Yahweh. Appreciate that. Got more support here than I thought I had. I hear a loud shout go out through the land. Praise Yahweh. Now notice this. That is in the book of Josephus. If you will go to the ninth book and read the fourth verse, you will find it. Now notice this. The nearest kinsman of Ruth refused to buy the land because in raising up heirs to Mahlon, he would have marred his own inheritance, Ruth 4:6. That's why the nearest kinsman that was eligible would not marry, because he didn't want to bring up seed to his brother because it would mar his inheritance. Now notice, in other words, any children born to him and Ruth would be heirs to all his fortune, making it impossible for him to give the inheritance to those on his own family name. So then, enter Boaz, who redeemed the land that belonged to Mahlon. Now, who was Mahlon? Well, what it tells you right here in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. I dare you to read it. Verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I'll bet you the bottom dollar that Bethlehem, Judea here is a misquote. I believe Bethlehem is correct, but I believe it was Bethlehem Ephratah. Boy, if they'd have left that in there, we could have hooked that up to Micah 5 and 2. Well, they forgot to change Micah 5 and 2, and they changed this one here in 1, and then they also changed it in 2. Had to do that now. And I'm going to show you amazing how that they are crafty, how that they switched the bloodline over in the genealogy to Judah from Joseph here. Hey, damn, this is a piece of art here. This is amazing how that they could do it right under your nose, and most people read over it blindly. I mean, I read over it for 30 years, so don't feel like a lone stranger here. These things are so hard to catch. And although it seems very easy now for me to go back and read it, I mean, I had to labor a long time before I caught it. I had to go and sit in a boring meeting, listen to dried-up messages, but I kept careful notes, and first thing you know, I mean, a little bit of information here and a little bit of information there, here a little and there a little, and first of all, the puzzle begins to come together, and the closer it comes together, the clearer the picture and the easier it is to assemble. And so that's the end of the story right there, but notice this, verse 2, it'll begin the story. The name of the man that had these two sons was Amalek. Remember now, it's this Amalek's land, and his sons inherited it. Well, they died. Notice this. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Malon and Shephlon, Ephratites, put the word in there, underline it, and write in Strong's number 669. Go look at Strong's number, and it will tell you a descendant of Ephraim. So then, if Malchon and Shephlon and Amalek were Ephratites, those that were from Ephraim, the tribe of Joseph, then the whole blood picture of David and Christ changes drastically. Oh, my. Have we opened up something here that maybe somebody didn't want opened up? Now, go with me over to 1 Chronicles, and I'll show you how that they tried to conceal it. Here we got direct lineage evidence that these brethren, ancestors of David, were Ephratites. Now, in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, starting at verse 3, we get the sons of Judah and the Judean, or the Jew bloodline, if you will. Let's just say Jew, because everybody thinks that Judah is a Jew, and it's not. It's misleading here, but I'm going to use it for the sake of the familiarity of the word. It's been customized and identified in around the world. Everybody thinks that Jews are God's chosen people, but it's not so. These are Judites. And a better term, that's an English variant, sir. The better term is Yehudites. Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, means praisers of Yah. Okay, let's find out if they were birthline privilege. We're going to prove tonight that Judah didn't have any birthright privileges whatsoever. Duh, end of story, you would think. But some master craftsman here, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they changed the love letter to us here. And Satan has entered in and very crafty, and that's why that the Bible says here in the next couple of chapters over, we're going to read this just in a minute, but let me read here. Now, I'm going to, if you'll read verses 3 and 4, and for saving time here, I'm in a hurry, let me drop down to verse 11. And Nashon, now we're getting Judah's bloodline. Now notice up here in verse 3, we've got three sons up here. We've got Judah, the god Er, and Onan, and Shelah, which were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitist. This is illegal. This is illegal seed right here. These three sons, they ain't no way they're going to get any birthright privileges. Now, the Shelahites are called. We'll get into that later on. The Shelahites is what we're going to show you how the snake got in the house of Israel. Preached on that last week. So we covered that in the series. But here it is. Now notice how drastically it changes from Er and firstborn of Judah was evil in sight of Yahweh, and he slew him. And it doesn't mention about that he also slew Onan. See, they leave out some stuff here. And that he didn't slay Shelah, he got away. And nobody ever mentions him. I'm probably the only preacher on television and or radio here that worldwide radio that I know that will bring this out. I think there is a few more that's not on radio now. They were preaching it, and probably understandable, but they're not on radio now. You see, the truth goes over like a lead balloon. You preach a lie, and people will send you offerings galore. And they'll just pat you on the back because you tickle their ears. Now, if you quit tickling ears and give them truth and cut them to the heart, you think they're going to support you? When they've got something to do, they got to climb down out of the ivory towers and repent and be baptized and get the truth right? This upsets Grandma. I mean, even Granny gets mad at this. And notice verse 4, and Tamar's daughter-in-law bare him Phares and Zara. Now, there's a big gap in here, like Jenna's unexplained genealogy here. If I was complete in here, I could show you that they have left out, and there's something wrong here anyway. Now, let's go. The sons of Phares, Horizon, and Hamuel, and it goes on down to verse 7, the accursed thing, the sons of Elan, and so on and forth. Do we get down to verse 11? And Nashon begot Salma, and Salma begot Boaz. Duh! Wait, just a cotton-picking mini here. Why in the world did Boaz jump in here? Where did they get the authority to throw Boaz in the mix here under the sonship of Phares? Say, what authority did they have to do that when we go back over here and we find that Boaz was a Nephrite in the book of Ruth? I'm going to prove it to you before I quit here. Boaz and the sons that he was akin to as the kinsman redeemer, ladies and gentlemen, before he could have a legal right to claim kinship, he would have had to be blood-born out of the tribe of Joseph Ephraim. Before he could assume the kinsman redeemer role that he did. How did he get over here in the bloodline of Phares? You tell me! Ain't no way that won't fly. I won't buy. If you do, you're going to be deceived because, no, we're just getting into the gritty-gritties here. I'm going to give you scriptures that'll blow your mind. How that they masterfully, skillfully, surgically inserted whenever it pleased them, and this is the reason they done it. They wanted to get Boaz, had to get Boaz over here in the bloodline of Phares to make Christ a Jew. And ladies and gentlemen, I admit this. If Boaz was a Jew from the bloodline of Judah, then Christ would have been a Jew. And then all of identity message is down the drain, as most people think it is anyway. But you see, even identity preachers that preach that Christ was from Judah would have to acknowledge that he would have been a Yehudite or a Jew. And we'll use that word Jew because it's very appropriate here because more people know what a Jew is than they do a Judite or a Yehudite. If I talk that, I'm talking strange tongue. If I talk Jew, it's an internationally accepted name. Oh, yeah, you're talking about God's chosen people. Automatically, when you talk about a Jew, oh, yeah, they don't worship Christ, but they're God's chosen people. And God blinded them so he could come to us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have said and said and said and going to say it again. That's poppycock. Hogwash. Can't be read. Book and verse and chapter, please. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let's prove this. Well, they can't even give you one, let alone two. And if you ask them for three, you have to hang all of them. Well, if you can't read it, hang them. Let them swing. Praise you always what I say. Here you go. And Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse. Duh. Now, I want you to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 12, and remember, Boaz begot Obed, Obed begot Jesse. Now, follow me, the little brick road, on over to, let's go over to 1 Samuel, okay? We're going over to 1 Samuel, and we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to verse 12. Follow me now. Don't get lost here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Turn the pages. I can see you struggling to find it. Don't you know where the book of Samuel is? Come on, come on, come on. This is your life you're tracing here. Get over there. Praise Yahweh. Now, verse 12. Now, David was that son of the son of that Ephratite. Duh. Strong's number 669 again, one more time. Jesse was an Ephratite. David was the son of an Ephratite. And if he was a son of the Ephratite, what would David be? I rest my case. Somebody's going to have to do some major overhauling in the words here before Pastor Buddy will admit that this is wrong. I'm sticking to this, irregardless of what it says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 11. Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and the kinsman redeemer begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and they're out of the tribe of Judah? When donkeys fly, I've been to too many goat ropings. I just didn't fall off the turnip truck. I was born yesterday, but not last night. Praise Yahweh. Now, here we go. Let's look at the facts here. Jesse was an Ephratite. Now, how about that? Does it say he's a Judah or an Ephratite? Won't you jake-legged preachers, you listen to Pastor Buddy and you hide your head. You get in the sand, you hoping that this truth will run away. I hope somebody throws rocks at you Sunday morning when you get up and get your famous Christ was a Jew message on E-Star. My heavens, these false prophets, foxes, I mean the desert, the barren spiritual desert, they sit in these pews drunk on ignorance, fear, and superstition and tradition. These false preachers are up banging their gums, padding their pockets, enlarging their bank accounts. No wonder hell's enlarged her mouth to swallow up these heathen. Hell's too good for them. That's why Yahweh said, I'll make it. They'll suffer twice. Praise Yahweh. I'm glad they're going to get a double punishment in hell. The ones that they deceive don't deserve all the punishment. But these that do the deceiving, and they know it, they're not going to come out and acknowledge that Pastor Buddy's right here, that Christ and David was not Jewish. They're going to tell you that they are Jewish. And I'm going to tell you that the Word don't back it up. And come hell or high water, I'm sticking to it because it's what the Word says. David was the son of the Ephratite. And I'll bet my boots again that it was in there originally, Bethlehem, Ephratah. They say Bethlehem, Judea. Who cares? This is a mute argument. If Jesse was an Ephratite, and, you know, they could move around from tribe to tribe, and Ephraimite could go over and live in Judah if he wanted to. There was no restriction. Just as long as he was inbred, purebred, Israelite, he could live anywhere in Israel that he so desired. But let me assure you one more time, if he was an Ephraimite, he could not inherit any land over in Judah. End of the story. If you were a Ephraimite, you could not, under the laws designed in the government of Yahweh, you could not inherit one inch of land in Judah. Duh, that's exactly right. The 25th chapter of Deuteronomy will tell you that your bloodline, where they inherited, if you want to find out where they inherited, I dare you. If I had time to go into this, I could, you know, that's why I'm waiting on somebody to go ahead and debate here. Let's get it on. If you know a bunch of preachers, get you about 10 of them, praise Yahweh. I'll debate them by myself if they will stay in order and ask one question at a time. Well, we can have some order, and I'll answer every one of them. And I'll let all 10 of the scriptures against me, praise Yahweh, and we'll have a Elijah Bell meeting up on Mount Carmel, and we'll take four. Elijah took on 450. I can handle 10 any day of the week, praise Yahweh. And I ain't bragging, but I ain't complaining either. Praise Yahweh. David was the son of that Ephratite. I ain't going to let you off the hook here.
Let me see here now, buddy. There's a way to get around that. Now, let me see what it is.
That's your problem. Once you've pointed out the truth, you try to go and say, well, now, wait a minute. That must be a misprint there. Glory to God. There's misprints all over the Bible. They will bring that up. Here's a misprint. Bethlehem, Judea, when Micah 5 and 2 says that the kinsman redeemer is going to come out of Bethlehem, Ephratah, and there is a geographical difference, and I can prove that if you want to go into the debate. That's why we hold maps and charts and things, and I like to go on television. Man, I'd love to be on national television. Some rich man listened to me tonight that will buy me an hour, a prime time, and put me on worldwide television where that I could preach this message. I could do it an hour. I could prove it beyond a shadow of doubt. Now let's go back to the book of Ruth. All right. Here we are. The Ephraimites of Bethlehem are Amalek and his two sons. They're Ephraimites. Remember that. Strong's number 673 there and 669, but 669 through 673 are descendants of Ephraim, who was a Josephite, who was the birthright. Remember, the blessing birthright went to Ephraim, not Judah. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you just make me so nervous when you preach. You just turn my nerves all to pieces. I just can't stand it no more. Well, why don't you take your Valium? That's what the bell box has got you on. If you grow up like a calf in a stall and get on the word, you could eat some meat. This milk toast stuff is not, this program is not, does not, will not ever consist of milk toast. If you want milk toast, go over where they're serving milk and toast. If you want meat, hang in here. And you'll learn something. I guarantee you, things that you've never been told before, things that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world, in the last days shall be declared by somebody that's qualified and knows what he's talking about. And that's Pastor Buddy. After 40 years of continuous searching the scriptures, I know what I'm talking about here. I'm not no Johnny come lately. Oh, my. Here I am. I'm going to have to be Johnny Gone here. Praise Yahweh, and Johnny be good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Praise Yahweh. Remember, my sponsors, you know who they are. You listen to me enough, and I ain't got time to give them tonight. See you tomorrow night. Hey, I'm going to really scorch the earth tomorrow night with this amazing truth. David was not a Jew. You stay tuned, and Yahweh bless you, Jacob.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.